morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed and so thankful that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a word of prayer today. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you have granted to all of us to worship you, to sing praises unto your name, to commune with you this morning. Father, we commit this time of praise and worship into your care, and we ask that you would glorify yourself through it, that you would do a mighty thing in it, that you would change us because of it, and you would receive the honor, the glory, and the praise that you are due. We just turn to you now. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken our minds and open our hearts and impact our lives all for your glory, and that you would just draw us nigh to thee. We bless you now in the holy name.
That time is upon us again. As you know, we several times per year go out to Toledo for the Mosaic Ministries to serve a meal for the homeless and for the needy. I would reach out to all of you who have not participated, and even those who have. If you'd like, there's not going to be a very large commitment in joining us in this outreach. We're doing a very simple meal this week, so there's not going to be a lot of commitment in time of preparation. So if you'd like to go, we would ask that you meet us at 2 o'clock if you'd like to help prepare the meal. Meet us at 2:30 if you'd like to join us in traveling to Toledo to serve the meal. And I would expect that we would probably be back typically no later than 6 or 7. So this is a wonderful way for you to engage in the calling that God has placed on our hearts to help to serve the needy. And I know that you will be touched. Everybody who goes comes back joyful and bubbling over, likewise with those that attend the meal. So we would love to see you. The boards will be going around. Please sign up as you feel yourself led. God bless y'all.
Thank you, Ray. And I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward. She has a Vacation Bible School announcement. And friends, I would just turn our attention as Rachel's coming forward to the prayer and praises inside your bulletin to continue to lift those individuals up in prayer that are mentioned in your bulletin each week. And friends, may we stand with those people who are in need in prayer. And so one of the ways with Vacation Bible School, and you'll notice some of the other outreach ministries that we are in preparation for, we all can pray. We all can stand with prayer. No matter what God is leading us to do to be a part, we all can be a part through prayer. So, Rachel, why don't you share?
Well, today is the day for our pre-VBS meeting. So if anyone is interested or plans on helping with Vacation Bible School, that is after church today, we will probably meet in the parlor. It's awful chilly in the fellowship hall. So if you don't see a group of us in the fellowship hall, we're probably in the parlor. Just a recap, we still have our boxes. We have them until tomorrow, the Easter seal boxes. And so if you have not cleaned out your closet, it's time to go home today and do that. I'm actually making my husband do it tonight, so don't think you guys are the only ones. Thursdays, we're still decorating. We had a lot of fun last Thursday, Charlene and I, helping everybody. I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. And let us all turn our attention to the reading of God's word here this morning.
Today's reading from the Word will be found in the book of 2 Timothy. We will be reading from chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, found on page 1855 in the Pew Bible, if you'd care to read along with us. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do this work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in hearing the word. If the ushers will now please come forward for the giving of our tithes and offering.
Gracious, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. And as part of those blessings, Father, we place on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The word here this morning, we want to dismiss Children's Church for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. That is a change. So please note those kids in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry especially prepared for you. You can meet Nikki and she will take you to the classroom. And so friends, this morning we are continuing our journey through this Lenten season. And we are asking the question, what it means to follow Jesus. The video just depicted that we all follow many different things in life. Sports teams, politicians, you know, all kinds of different things. And yet, Jesus sometimes gets crowded out. And so I want to answer the question why we should put Christ, Jesus, higher on the list in our lives, right first and foremost. I want to share a quote with you from a fictional character from the movie Gladiator, the Roman general Maximus. And he's basically right at one of the opening scenes, he states this. He says, what we do here on earth echoes in eternity. I'm here to tell you that what we do here on earth will echo in eternity. That's the why. That's why we should follow Jesus in all ways, in many different facets. That's why, because what we do, when we lead someone to Christ, when we fill their lives with truth, that is going to echo into eternity at some point in time. That quote right there, it sends chills in up and down my spine. Because I think about the spiritual gifts class, the discovering your spiritual gifts. When we unlock and unleash people to utilize what God has given them for his glory, friends, that will echo through all of eternity. Sometimes I think that we have this limited view or this limited mindset of what I do only affects the present time. And it doesn't. It goes beyond and it ripples out into eternity. And with that, that is the why we should look at where we are following Jesus in our life. If we are being, you know, tempted away from other things and by other things more often in our lives than maybe we need during this Lenten season to take a reset and say, okay, where am I at in my journey with Jesus? I want to share with you the mission of Trinity United Methodist Church. And all through this series, we're going to be asking Jesus what is next in our individual lives and for our church. And what is next has to be answered in light of the mission. And friends, I just want to share this with you. Trinity United Methodist Church exists. This is why we are here. This is why you and I gather. We are here not just to, you know, mark time, not just to bide our time. We are here to bring people into God's family. First and foremost, does that not ripple into eternity? Does that not echo out into eternity? When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, it will, friends, it will echo into all of eternity. But not only do we want to bring them into God's family, we want to teach them about Jesus. When we teach them about Christ, we do that through studies, we do that through Bible studies, we do that through our actions, we do that through everyday conversation. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. And maybe you're not totally plugged in yet. Maybe you are here and you're wondering exactly where you fit. Well, maybe we need to ask individually, what is next? And so we want to teach them about Jesus, and we want to empower them to serve the world through the love of God. Jonathan Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist movement, and that's what it is, he called it being perfected in love. Now, if you look at the summation of Jesus in the greatest two commandments, to love God, to love your neighbor, is that not what it is all about? It's about love. It's about serving and empowering these people in the love of God to serve the world. And that is why we're here, friends. That's why we're asking the question, what's next? And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Now, I don't know where you're at in your journey with Jesus, but I do want to ask. I want to ask you, where are you at? I don't want answers, but I want you to ask yourself, where are you in your journey with Jesus? And then to ask, what is next? This morning, our text is found in the book of Acts, chapter 20. I printed the scripture in your bulletin, so if you will open up your bulletin, we're going to read that. And friends, this is the Apostle Paul's farewell speech. And I'll say that again. It's the Apostle Paul's farewell speech. Sometimes we think about, you know, things and we don't really realize, but this is the Apostle Paul's farewell speech. This is what he was speaking to those who he was going to leave behind. Now, in this farewell speech, if you were to look, you can see all the way beginning in verse 17, he would be talking about the past, and then he moves to the present, and then he will eventually move to the future. We're not going to deal with the past or the future. We're going to deal with the present this morning. And we're going to talk about commitment this morning. And this is the Apostle Paul's view of his commitment. So follow along. We're going to read verses 22 through 28 out of the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I wonder if any of you have, you know, basically given your word to commit to something, or you have stepped into something and a step of commitment, and then suddenly you realized or thought, oh my goodness, what did I do? That time came for me, and time again in the summers when I was growing up, and my parents would take us to the YMCA, and you know, I always wanted to swim in the deep end. But in order, when you were so young, to swim in the deep end, you had to swim the length of the pool. They always made you start in the deep end. And so you would jump in, and I'll never forget, every single time I would jump in the deep end of the pool, I remember distinctly the thought would run through my mind, oh my goodness, what have I done? Because I could swim, but it wasn't all that proficient. I could swim, but yet I struggled. And so then I always would want to get to the shallow end real quick, because then I knew that if I got in trouble, I could put my feet down. That's commitment, friends. That is commitment. And I wonder if you've had somewhat of a similar situation in your life where you have stepped out, and maybe that stepping out has been with your faith in Christ. And maybe you have stepped out and you found yourself like, uh-oh, what have I done? Well, friends, I want to challenge you here this morning that we need to have three different aspects of commitment in our journey. The first is we need to have the perspective of commitment. The Apostle Paul in verse 24, he says this. He says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. And we have to remember that the Apostle Paul, he was the great persecutor of the church. He was the one who was holding the cloaks when they were stoning Stephen in the book of Acts, Acts 7 and 8, chapter 7 and 8. And we need to understand that he was so passionate about what he did. And yet when he was traveling to Damascus to trump up charges about the church, to take them and the church leaders and throw them into prison or to persecute them or to kill them, the living Lord Jesus shows up and engages him. And so when he pens this, he knew what it meant to not account his life of any value, nor as precious to himself. If only, he goes on, he says, I may accomplish my course. And that is the course that God had set him on. Now, he never took any money from the churches. He was a tent maker, and so he would toil in the marketplace, and he would sell the tents that he would make. And so he always was so passionate about serving the Lord Christ that he said he wanted to accomplish his course and the ministry which he received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, grace is unmerited favor or receiving something that we don't deserve. And so the grace of God is the outworking of God in his life and in your life. That's grace. Grace is something you don't deserve, nor do I deserve. But yet when we come face to face with the grace of God, we have this perspective that it fuels our commitment to God because we know that we haven't deserved it. We know there's nothing that we could have done that we could have achieved what God has freely given to us. And so it's this perspective that fuels the commitment to say, it's not my life anymore, but all I want to do is to accomplish the course and the ministry which God has given to me. I'm here to tell you, God has given all of you a ministry. I want that to sink in. God has given every single one of you a ministry here on this earth. There is a group of people that can relate to you, that can relate to no one else. God has uniquely made you. He has fantastically formed you. He has interwoven you with the talents, the gifts, the abilities that only you have in this world. Only you have. And so, friends, the reality of it is the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary that has ever been in the kingdom of God. He was the first missionary, and he set out on these missionary journeys to plant these churches, and he's talking to the church at Ephesus when he gives his farewell speech. He knew what was going to befall him. He knew that it was going to be persecution and probably even death. But he had the perspective of commitment, the grace of God that had given to him the empowerment to say, no, this is what God has given me to do. This is what God has put my hand to, and I'm going to see this thing through and through. And I want to challenge you here this morning, Trinity, that God has challenged us and he has put our hand to reaching out into this community to bring others into God's family, to teach them about Jesus and to empower them to serve the world in love. That's what God has put our hand to. Now, you all have a distinct aspect or a distinct component that will apply into that overall mission. But friends, if we don't understand the grace of God, if we don't grapple with that, if we don't realize that it's God's great working of grace in our life that gives us what we don't deserve, then we will be obsessed with something else. We will follow something else. And politicians, sports teams, you know, clubs, and all these different things, they will encroach on our following of Christ. And then we will never realize the course and the fulfillment of the ministry which God has given to us, Trinity. He's given it to all of us. Every single one of us, he's giving us this ministry. And so it's the perspective of commitment to know that the grace of God has called you for an eternal purpose, to know that what we do will echo into all of eternity, to know that what we do will have lasting impact, not just here on this earth, to know that our prayers that we offer up for these ministries, and you might be sitting here saying, I can't do nothing. That's hogwash. That's bunk. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You and I have been given a charge. There is no one, no one else who can fulfill this call that God has given to you and to me on this earth. There is no one else for such a time as this. For such a time as this, friends. Trinity, for such a time as this. What we do will ripple and echo into eternity. The Apostle Paul had that perspective of commitment. He knew that the lasting effects would carry on. The second thing is that he had the peace of commitment. In verses 26 and 27, he goes on and he says, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." You see, the Apostle Paul, he uses a distinct word, and it's martyrius in the original text, and it's where we get the Greek or the English word martyr from. And it means to witness. In this text, he uses that word, and he knew what he was doing would cost him something. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that what we do will always cost us something. He did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God, and he did not shrink back from doing what God has asked him to do. He testified to all of us, to those who were present that day, that he is innocent. And friends, that's a peace that surpasses all understanding. May we experience that same peace. The peace of being committed to the call of Christ. The peace of fulfilling what God has called us to do. The peace of walking and following Jesus. You see, when we follow other things in this world, we don't have peace. And then we wonder why we are just flippantly meandering through life. And it's because we are not fulfilling the eternal destiny that God has set us hands, our hands to. It's this peace that will cause us to not shrink back. It's the peace that will cause us to forge ahead when the difficult times come, and they will come. It's this peace that will cause us to stand true to what God has asked us to do. It's the peace of being committed, friends. It's committed to the eternal call that God has given to you and to me. Trinity, the peace that God wants you and I to have is there. But we must be found to be faithful and obediently following him. And so I ask, where are you at in your journey with Jesus? What's next for you? What's next for Trinity? I'm here to tell you what's next for Trinity is to continue on chasing after the living Lord, to be the beacon of light into this community, to continue on serving this world, to continue on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, to continue on reaching out and bringing others into God's family, to continue on setting the benchmark for what it means to follow Jesus, to continue on sharing the whole counsel of God, to continue on teaching and preaching his word, to continue on sharing and loving on the world in the manner that only God can love them. That's what's next for us. What's next for you is to do that same thing, only on a smaller scale, in the sphere of influence, in the individuals that God has put into your life. And then, friends, when you begin to do that and you don't shrink back from declaring, as St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. We preach the gospel through our actions. We preach the gospel through how we love. We preach the gospel through what we do. And when you don't shrink, you will have the peace of commitment, the peace that surpasses all understanding. The last thing is the priority of commitment. Acts 20, verse 28. This is the Apostle Paul in his farewell speech. He says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with the blood of his own Son." You see, if we're going to be committed to what God has called us to, it must come with a priority. It must come at the top of our list. We must have that commitment right up here, and we must set the bar and say, this is what we are called to do, and we're not going to waver. We're not going to shrink back. We need to have the total perspective that God's will is God's will, and he has set the course. He has called us to do what he has called us to do. And then we will, when we don't shrink back, we will have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And we will walk in a confidence that we've never known before. But only when the commitment comes with a tag of priority. You see, there's many things in life, and I've come to realize lately over the last 6 months, there are many things in life that will clamor for your time, your attention, for your energy, and for your decisions. And friends, I'm here to tell you that unless we put our commitment to Jesus as the priority in our life, we will never experience the perspective of being committed of what God has called us to, and we will never have the peace that will give us the confidence and the strength in our life as we walk and follow Him. So my question is where are you at with your journey with Jesus? What's your obsession? What's your obsession in this world? Because we live in a world that is so obsessed with many different things. What is your obsession? And if it encroaches upon you following Jesus, then friends, I'm here to tell you it's got to go. Because you will never fulfill what God has called you to. You will never have the perspective of His desire for your life. You will never have the peace that He wants you to experience. And the priority will be all over the world for you, and it will never be God's priority for you. This morning, we're going to meet around the Lord's table. You see, commitment. You can't partially eat the bread and drink the cup. Either you totally eat it or else you choke on it, friends. And sometimes in our lives, that's exactly what we do. We choke on what God has called us to. You cannot partially ingest the bread and the cup, just like we cannot partially commit our lives to Jesus as followers of Him. And so as we approach the table of grace, the table of love, the Holy Communion, the sacraments, I want you to let this sink in. Just as you cannot partially ingest the elements of the bread and the cup, nor should we try to partially commit our lives to Christ. You see, the imagery here is stark. The imagery is saying that I am aligning myself with you, Jesus, the one who sacrificed everything that He gave Himself for me, and He loved me so much that He laid down His life, and I am aligning myself as the Apostle Paul did. I have the perspective of commitment that I have been shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned and given the 39 lashes plus one and the whole litany of the struggle that the Apostle Paul had. He got the commitment. The sad travesty in our day is we come up here and we take the bread and we drink the cup and then we go about our daily lives as usual. That's hypocrisy. That's not commitment. It's not. And yet that's what we want. We want Jesus to sacrifice everything and we want to receive the benefits but not have to give anything. Commitment costs something. It will always cost something. Those of you that have been married for any point in time, I've been married for 6 months. I'm here to tell you, you say yes to somebody, that means you say no to a whole lot of other people. Amen? You say yes to Jesus, that means you say no to a whole lot of other things that you can commit to. Amen? And yet we want it both ways. And you can't have it both ways. If you want the blessing of the perspective of being committed to Christ, then you must choose. You must receive. If you want the peace that gives you the strength and the confidence in your life, then you must choose. And you must say no to a whole bunch of other things. If you want to experience the blessedness of having what you do here on this earth echo into all of eternity, then you must set your commitment to Christ as the priority of your life. It has to happen. And so where are you in your journey? Where are you? Are you here and saying, I'm going to take the bread and the cup and I'm just going to go about my daily life and eventually in about an hour or two after we get out of here, it'll all subside and it'll all fade away and it won't be any different. You may be there. I don't know. God knows. Are you to the point where you're saying, Jesus, what's next? What's next? I'm grappling with your grace, O Christ. I'm grappling with it. If you're there, what's next? What's next? don't stop. Don't stop. Because you walk out those doors, and there's a million different voices clamoring for your attention, and worse yet, clamoring for your commitment. I would go so far to say, don't even ingest the bread or the cup this morning. Don't do it. Don't do it. The scripture gives a heed warning for all of us. To eat and drink unworthily is to eat and drink to eternal damnation unto our souls. Ouch. Ouch. You'd be better off, friends, if you're not serious about this, to let it pass and go on your way. And I share that because I love you. I care about you. Don't eat and drink this and go about your life as if nothing's changed. You're doing yourself a disservice, because just as Christ paid it all, he doesn't want part of your life. He wants all of your life. Now, what that doesn't look like, it doesn't look like what God has called me to do. It doesn't look like all of us to be in full-time vocational ministry. What it does look like, it looks like you giving Jesus Christ your entire heart and following him completely. And what he's called you to, it is very similar to you and me ingesting the bread and the cup. You cannot partially commit to eating and drinking. Otherwise, you choke. And I think about the Christian community, and it seems to me that's probably the reason why the Christian community is choking right now. Because there's no commitment. May you and I ask the question, what's next? And may God find us all to be faithful and obedient and totally committed as we receive the bread and the cup. This morning we are going to participate in meeting around the Lord's table. You will be given a piece of bread, and you will take that piece of bread and dip it into the juice. Then you will take both together. You'll come down the center aisle, and if you're over here, you'll depart that way. If you're over here, you'll depart that way. But friends, may you check your heart. May I check my heart. And may you ask the question, what's next with Jesus and your journey? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your call. Your call to all of us to be committed to you, to set aside all those things that so easily entangle us. May, as we meet around your table and partake in receiving the bread and the cup, may we say, I am committed to you, Lord Christ. Father, give us the courage, give us the discipline, the diligence, and the boldness to remove those things from our lives that so easily entangle and drag us away from our commitment to you. May we reckon with your grace and grapple with your love, and may we not shrink back from what you have called us to. We thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup. We pray that you would bless the bread and bless the cup, and you would anoint them. And Heavenly Jesus, that you would move our hearts, minds, and souls, that you and only you would draw us nigh, and that we would draw closer to you as we are committed to following you. We bless you and we thank you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, remember, if you're here for the Vacation Bible School meeting, meet in the fellowship hall, and then you can find Rachel, and she will let you know what classroom you're going to. May the God of all grace bless you and keep you. May his peace resonate deep within your soul. May his love saturate your mind and your heart and your very being. And friends, may you experience the joy of being committed unto him. May you not waver, not falter. May you chase after the living Lord Jesus each and every waking day of your life. May you and I depart in peace. Amen.